Some years ago, when my father died, there were many things that had to be tended. My mother was, of course, a bit at sea. Once all the necessary and immediate things were done, the funeral passed, before I left to return to work, I knew I needed to ask one thing. My years of ministry had taught me this. Would you like me, before I go, to sort through Dad's things, his clothes, so that you don't have to do it alone? I suspected she would say yes and be relieved, and she did, and she was. That is one of the hardest, most emotionally draining tasks that the newly widowed or widower must face. Close to being done with the task, I told her I was going to keep a sweater. And I suggested strongly that she would want to keep a few things as a way of touching the things that he had touched in life. She selected a few items. And strangely enough, one of the things she selected was a sweatshirt from a Wolfpack Florida Gator game that they had attended in Florida together. And 16 years later, she still wears it in leisure spaces from time to time. I must say, it is very garish. Death is hard because it impacts far more than the one who dies. It alters the course of life for many whose lives are associated with the now deceased. We carry the deceased in our memories. We see their habits in others and in ourself. Their gentleness and value of us can reach toward us in daily things. Their ability to wound can return to our harm. They leave behind networks of relationships that persist in varying degrees. I carry my dad in that way, in particular when I'm repairing something, since much of my childhood was spent with "just stand here and help me while I do," and I learned to do. When I look at my brother's face, my father flashes through sometimes, and there'll always be a turn of a phrase that makes him present once again. But to be honest, when I need to touch unconditional love, it's his father, my paternal grandfather, who visits and cradles my heart. I wish my dad had been better at that, but he wasn't. And these many years out, that's forgiven. On the day of resurrection, Jesus' followers are in this hard place together. There are no clothes to sort, but there are memories, stories taught, ways of being in the world that they need to recall. And then there is, of course, fear. Jesus had not died in some natural process. Crucifixion is harsh, it is degrading, both for those who receive it and for those who are associated with it. And it leaves fear in its wake. The world is not now safe for them. But surely memories play as they set in connection and in dashed hopes. You see, Jesus carried the connective tissue of their relationship. Who were they without it? That's harder to sort than clothing, harder to touch. Mary has reported by this point in John's gospel that the tomb was empty and that she saw Jesus and had mistaken him for the gardener. But resurrection was not in their vocabulary or their experience. It was more like another fear just now, something strange and inexplainable. And so it is into this interior, disheveled space that Jesus now enters, this place where anxiety was the new norm. Oh, the room was locked, but so might their minds be for fear. Isn't that what happens after violence, after crucifying violence? We're locked in a myriad of emotions, disorientations that take over. It is here that Jesus' words ring, "Peace be with you." It's important to not pass quickly over this greeting. It was the usual greeting between people of the Jewish faith. This peace that had to do with the wholeness that is rooted in God. Shalom is the Hebrew word. Shabbat shalom is still the greeting offered this day. Sabbath peace be with you. And yet it seems to be more here, deeper than before. Peace be with you. In this room are the disciples who gradually seem to assume a kind of more distant stance as Jesus was arrested, tried, and crucified. And there is Peter handling his three denials. There is an uneasiness in this room. Had they failed the relationship toward its ending? And there's guilt, the way it often hangs around after a death. Did we miss something? Peace be with you. It's more like a deep centeredness in God, a resting in God. It's more like being reconciled with God. And if with God, then with yourself and with others as well. If you can, remember the 14th chapter of John as Jesus speaks of his coming end, and then he says to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, not my peace. My peace that I give to you is not the peace that the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Peace be with you." Peace is not simply hello. It's not just a friend to a friend. It's not a greeting that hopes that with those we differ that they will somehow now be kind. It's more like touching the eternal purpose of God. To touch the eternal purpose of God is meant to untrouble us, to stand between us and that which we fear. Peace be with you is here an act of reconciliation. It's a separation bridged. That kind of peace. A recentering of the disciples' lives in the eternal care of God. In John, this resurrection appearance, this word of peace, reconnects them to all Jesus has taught and been. And perhaps more, it reconnects them to each other in hope and purpose. And then in today's gospel, Jesus goes on, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." And that is followed by a promise, and what I hear is a warning. He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them." And the warning, "If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Forgiveness sets free. Retaining binds the one who retains. How often do we notice in life that resurrection is more than what happens at the end of life? It's mirrored or not in daily places. It happens when we hold an offense against another, perhaps well-earned, and we release them of it. It occurs when some memory of past unkindness rises within and we acknowledge it and then release its power in some silent prayer. It happens when we let go another's judgment of us, fair or unfair. It happens as we seek not to be disoriented, by the meanness that occupies the airways just now, and rather choose daily kinder deeds, and we do them. It happens when we encounter a culture that we do not know, and we choose curiosity over fear or disinterest. Resurrection happens when we listen quietly to another's life and ponder how to love and tend them as Jesus might. It happens as we cross boundaries, languages, fears, and suspicions, whatever separates us, and recall that it is God's intention that we are called to reconciled lives, woven by the works of mercy and kindness. Resurrection happens when we receive into our lives a peace, a wholeness the world cannot give, a peace that we cannot buy or bargain for. Notice again the words of Jesus, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." This peace is in an intentional relationship, accepted and nurtured. It lies between Jesus and the aspect of God that he calls Father, between Jesus and his disciples now sent back to engage their world, between the Holy Spirit and any who accept the work of reconciliation. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. Easter is not primarily about an empty tomb, but life beyond the tomb. It is deeply about relationships that Jesus embraced and returned to nurture. It's about his legacy of reconciling love taught, embraced, and offered in relationships daily. It's about how we fail and are forgiven as we forgive, until we learn to forgive more fully. I mentioned earlier that I kept a sweater, one of my father's. This out-of-fashion sweater had a purpose I did not initially know. You see, Dad was not easy. In fact, he was harsh more often than not. According to my brother, I caught the larger share of that harshness growing up. But Dad gentled some in the last years, and he was oddly kind the last week of his life, deeply appreciative of what was being done as he was being nursed to his end. The sweater, when I looked at it or wore it, it connected me to those last days. It reminded me that there was a kind man that few ever saw. And one day, I realized I had forgiven him so very much. I preferred to touch his later kindness, perhaps his resurrecting self. And perhaps he too had forgiven whatever bound him. God knows. Once again, I learned the meaning of Jesus. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them." These words are Jesus' final gift to us. May they bless us all. Amen.